Is it still raining outside?
It was amazing when I came a couple hours ago. I was wondering if I was going to make it. It looks like a lot of us didn't. It's a smaller crowd than usual, but thanks for your fidelity in spite of the rain. It's good to see all of you here. The opening prayer this evening actually reminds us of the mood and spirit we should have when we come to Mass. This is what we prayed. O God, who caused the minds of the faithful to unite in a single purpose, grant your people to love what you command and to desire what you promise. Now, a lot of us come to church because we have a sense of obligation. We don't want to sin, right? Or we come because our parents force us to come, or our husband or wife does the same. But the reason we should be here today is to sit at the feet of Jesus, who is our teacher, in order to learn how to love what he commands and to desire what he promises. I mean, that's the only worthy spirit of a Christian, to love what it means to be a Christian and to try to live it faithfully in our lives. So let's look at today's scripture readings and try to understand it from that context. What is there here for us to love? There's three lessons, one in each of the readings, and they're all related to one another. The first lesson is simply this, that God wills the salvation of everyone. Not just a few people, but God wills the salvation of every one of us because he loves us as his son or his daughter. So God wants Muslims to be saved. God wants Hindus to be saved. God wants Buddhists to be saved. God wants our Protestant brothers and sisters to be saved, and God wants us to be saved, without exception. Now, this is not a lesson that people have easily understood. You know, most religions are a bit exclusive. And this was especially true for the Jewish community, who knew that they were in a very special way God's chosen people, because he told them that. But along comes the prophet Isaiah at a difficult moment when they had been taken as captives into Babylonia, which is present-day Iraq. And God sent the prophet to tell the Jews this. Thus says the Lord, I come to gather nations of every language. They shall come and see my glory. I will send refugees to the nations. What he's saying here is that some of the Jews would escape and go to different parts of the world. But I will send refugees to the nations, to Tarshish and Put and Lud. He gives all those different places. To the distant coastlands that have never heard of my fame or seen my glory, and they shall proclaim my glory among the nations. They shall bring all your brothers and sisters from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, and I will take some of them and make them priests. Now, the Jews couldn't imagine God loving the Gentiles, let alone making them priests for the temple. So this was an extraordinary message, but one that we need to hear today too. God wills the salvation of everyone without exception. Okay? Lesson number one. Lesson number two is from today's gospel. And this lesson is equally simple. And it's this. Not everyone's going to be saved. It seems to be quite a contrast, right, to the first reading, where God wills the salvation of everyone, but Jesus says quite clearly in today's gospel that not everyone's going to be saved. And that kind of flies in the face of a kind of spirit today that doesn't make any difference what you believe or who you are. Everybody's going to go to heaven. Doesn't make any difference what we believe or do. But that's not the teaching of Jesus. Let's look at this gospel reading in closer detail. It says that Jesus was preaching and teaching, and someone asked him, Lord, will only a few people be saved? And in response to that one question, Jesus answers two questions. The first question is, who's going to be saved, and then how many? There's two different questions there. But before he gets into that answer, he says a couple other things that are rather important. Jesus says here, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. Many will not be strong enough. Not just a few. And then he uses an image. He says this, after the master of the house has risen and locked the doors, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. And he will say to you in reply, I don't know where you're from. And you will say, well, we ate with you and drank in your company, and you taught us in our streets. Then he will say to you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. And then Jesus goes on to say this, people will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south to recline at the table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Now, what are the two questions that Jesus answers, and how does he answer those questions? First of all, who's going to be saved? And he gives the same answer as we have from the first reading from the prophet Isaiah. He says people from the east and the west, the north and the south, from all over the place are going to be sitting at the table of the Lord. And you, he's speaking to his Jewish brothers and sisters, some of you are not going to be there. You know, it's not enough to say, I'm a Jew. Or not enough for us to say, well, I'm a Catholic. You know, just identifying ourselves as such is not what makes us fit for the kingdom of heaven. We have to be willing to enter through the narrow gate. Now, why didn't Jesus give a clear answer? Why didn't he say, well, 70% are going to be saved? Or 40% are going to be saved? Well, we don't really know, because we don't know how to read the mind of Jesus. But I think the answer is probably this, that if he told us that 70% would be saved or 80%, we say, well, the chances are pretty good, and not do much about trying to get our life ordered to go through that narrow gate. Or if we heard from him that 20% are going to be saved, there's a risk that we would despair and equally not try to be faithful to the Lord and enter through the narrow gate. The first is called the sin of presumption. You know, you presume you're going to be saved. And the second is called the sin of despair, where you despair that it's not possible to be saved. But those aren't the answers. The answer is the narrow gate. Everyone can be saved, but not everyone's going to be. And it depends on how much we cooperate with the grace that God gives us. You know, God saves us. We don't save ourselves. But you and I are called to cooperate with the graces that lead to our salvation. So what is the narrow gate? That's the third lesson in today's scripture readings. And the answer to that is found in today's second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, which is about discipline. How many of you were spanked when you were kids? How many of you were spanked often when you were kids? Okay. Now, parents, how many of you spank your children today? I didn't see many hands. You know, there's a certain kind of allergy in our society today to parental discipline. You know, people used to spank their kids, but now you can go to jail for doing that, I guess, you know. And I think the allergy is a result of the fact that sometimes in the past some parents were too strict and were too harsh in their discipline. But we'll never understand this reading from Hebrews unless we understand that disciplining children is a sign of a parent's love for them. Now, what the letter to the Hebrews does is quote one of the Proverbs from the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, it's in chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. And this is what the Proverb said. "My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. So endure your trials as discipline, because God treats you as sons." Now, I'd like to remind those of you who are regulars here at the Sunday night mass that this idea of being sons is very important for all of us, whether we're male or female. This is not a gender description, you know. It's what St. Paul tells us in his letters is that all of us who are baptism become sons in the Son. That means when God looks at us, who does he see? He sees Jesus, whether we're male or female. So we all become, in some sense, sons in the Son. So we have to listen to this as a lesson for all of us. You know, we are God's children. We're his daughters and his sons. We're not like children, we are his children. That's part of our Christian belief. And just as a father disciplines a child in order to make that child learn how to be a whole human being and a selfless, generous human being, God disciplines us through the sufferings of our life. This is a basic Christian notion. You know, I often point to the cross as a symbol of sacrifice. It's at the center of our Christian life. It leads us in procession. Every prayer we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The cross is at the center of Christian life. But what this means is that a willingness to offer ourselves in love and sacrifice is an essential part of being a Christian. And that's the narrow door that Jesus is speaking about in today's gospel. That if we want to be part of the kingdom of heaven, we have to learn to discipline ourselves, to control ourselves, in order to give ourselves away in love and service to, first of all, to God, but also to our brothers and our sisters. That's the narrow way necessary for salvation. So, is everyone saved? No. Does God want us all to be saved? Yes. How do we do it? By cooperating with God's plea to you and me to discipline ourselves, to learn how to be selfless and generous in all situations in our life. Husbands, it's the way you love your wife. Mom, that's the way you love your children. Wives, that's the way you love your husbands. And that's the way we should love our friends, you know, to think of them first rather than ourselves. Never to use people, but to allow ourselves to be used for the glory of God and for the good of other people. And this is, according to that opening prayer, what we should learn to love and desire. Not something we put up with, but something we learn to love and desire. It becomes a way of life for us. So again, once again, the lessons are three. They're very simple. First of all, God wills the salvation of everyone. So don't ever think that, you know, you have a better chance of getting to heaven just because you're a Catholic. You know, it all depends on what? On your willingness to embrace the discipline of self-giving. Second lesson is, not everybody's going to be saved. So what you do makes a difference. It makes a big difference. The way you live your daily life makes a big difference. The influence you have on other people is huge. You know, some people might go to hell because of you. And that's a huge responsibility. And the third thing is, the way to be faithful is the way of self-sacrifice. Jesus, we learned last Sunday in the letter to the Hebrews that Jesus is the leader and perfecter of our faith. That means he's gone before us on the cross, right? And he's brought to perfection in his own example how we are to live. So not only does he show us the way, but he makes that way possible for us. Now, one last thing. I'm going to read a passage from St. Luke's Gospel. Jesus said in this passage in St. Luke, "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. And that doesn't sound like good news, does it? But it's a narrow way, and we ask the Lord to teach us to embrace it. Together now, let us profess our faith. I believe in one.